Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. I love my Saturday mornings talking baseball with you, Bruce. I miss this. It was a lot of fun, obviously, doing the Bears during the Bears season. I'm glad it's over. It's fun being back. And there's a lot to talk about this weekend, and a lot of it revolves around the White Sox. And not just because today is 60th birthday of Ozzie Guillen. Happy birthday, Ozzie Guillen. How about that, Bruce?
Can you believe it? Can you believe it? I still remember seeing a 21-year-old kid in his first spring training with the White Sox. His English was, well, I don't want to say, it's a little bit better now. And the guy had braces on his teeth. He was feisty and competitive and fun as he is 39 years later. And just a terrific person and a great family. What a great guy to call friend in baseball and around Chicago. He's a Chicagoan.
Couldn't agree with you more. We're blessed to have Ozzie as a regular contributor to the Score during the baseball season, and he is somebody that, you know, covering him and being friends with him after covering him is something that still kind of is one of those things that you look at like, wow, that evolved. But it was great in both cases. And let's say this, Ozzie Guillen's, I think, legacy as a Chicago White Sox manager and player is intact.
That brings and broadcaster
us,
now.
And broadcaster, absolutely, yep. As an analyst. Yep. He's terrific at it. He's a winning analyst as well. Which brings us to the subject of legacies. And I do wonder, Bruce, and I think when we talk about this White Sox Stadium flirtation or the possibility of examining the pros and cons of going to the South Loop in the 78, building a ballpark, 37,000 seats, 7,000 parking spaces, revitalizing the franchise. I want to know, from your perspective, covering baseball as long as you have, knowing Jerry Reinsdorf as well as you do, how much of this quest is financially driven because it immediately increases the value of the franchise? How much of this quest is legacy driven, wanting to leave something better than he found it? Because that is something that a lot of people talk about, and now with this project, Jerry Reinsdorf could be in a position to do.
Well, the one thing you know about Jerry Reinsdorf is he gets things done, David. Okay, so there's a building called the United Center. Most people think Michael Jordan built it. In actuality, the Wirtz family and Jerry Reinsdorf built the United Center for $140 million, which they took a loan out with Japanese bankers back in the early 90s and paid it off within 5 years. So this is a man, that $140 million building is worth well over $1 billion now. This man can get it done, okay? Whether you're a big fan of his as an owner of the White Sox or not, this guy is in the position he's in and has been all these years because he knows how to make deals and get them done. Is he a great baseball owner? Has he won enough championships? Those are questions that even Jerry asks himself from time to time. The reality is, this is one more thing that he can do for the city of Chicago his family, and the fans of the White Sox, more importantly, all in one bundle, which is perfect. Why wouldn't you do it? Well, that's the answer. Again, do people like Jerry Reinsdorf? I don't know. Do you think people care about Tom Ricketts, or do they really walk around complaining about the owners of the Bears? I think the media complains more about them than fans.
Oh, I disagree with that, Bruce. Okay. I totally disagree with that.
All right.
I think that the McCaskies are the easiest targets and the most consistent target, I think, of Bears fans. I think when you look at the Cubs, you know, Tom Ricketts is still relatively new to the landscape, considering he bought the team in 2009. And you look at the Wirtzes with the Blackhawks, Jerry Reinsdorf with the White Sox, and certainly the McCaskies with the Bears. Tom Ricketts still is the new kid in town, essentially. I want to ask you this, and I'm curious what people think. 312-644-6767. I don't know if I agree with you that Jerry Reinsdorf cares about the White Sox fan. I don't know that the recent evidence suggests that is a priority. Why would he do? I wonder. And I guess you're answering my question, so I appreciate that. But I do, and maybe am skeptical, if doing this, exploring this, is for the fan base or is for the financial profit. Because
it's all of those. It's all of those, David. Look, again, you know, you go back to ownership. What fans care about. I will humbly step out and say what Cub and White Sox fans care about is the quality of the players on the team and whether they can win or lose. They don't care about next year, the year after that, as to how Jed Hoyer in the front office and Chris Getz in the front office have to prepare economically for it. The one thing about an ownership of a new team in a new ballpark, or the same team in a new ballpark, is it's going to be a big plus for the fans. They're going to have a better fan experience, and there's going to be more money to spend. Will Jerry or the new owner spend that money? That'll be up to them at that time. The point is that this will be a better experience than what they have right now.
Well, I think, Bruce, I think fans like winning. And when you look at what the White Sox have not done recently, they haven't won. They've been unlikable. They have, I don't know if it makes any sense, but there's almost like been an active indifference from ownership. There's been, they've been a hard team to embrace, the hardest team in town. White Sox fans, how many people do you know who are White Sox fans that are fed up with whatever the case is, bringing in players that are unlikable or not doing things in the name of winning? The Tony La Russa era was a disaster. And I think that when you look at some of the things that Sox fans are looking at, I do wonder, I think it's fair to wonder how much ownership values the fan input. Look, and respects the fan base.
David, you have to have a perspective above and beyond the score, talk radio, conversation on television, on X, on any type of social media. That's not necessarily the consensus of every White Sox or Cub fan about how they feel about ownership.
Okay.
You're a smart guy. You've been around forever, you know, so you understand that. The reality is that, is Jerry well liked at this point? No. I don't think Tom Ricketts was well liked in 21 and 22 either, when the Cubs were rebuilding. Okay. I don't think that was a great time for them. I don't think people were happy about losing Rizzo and losing Bryant, losing Baez. As it turned out to be the right move, but that's a story for another day. In this situation, there's nobody that will tell you, I don't think, that really has their finger in the pulse. And again, this is just me talking. Mm-hmm. That staying where the White Sox are at right now is a good idea for the future.
I think that's a perspective that I respect, Bruce, and I know that's why we're having this conversation. You know the landscape and you know the man, and I do wonder about how much of this flirtation with the South Loop is because as a result of some of the things we've been talking about. But as enough of us, let's get to our listeners, because there's a lot of people who want to weigh in here, and the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's continue the conversation with Tracy from Naperville. Good morning, Tracy. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. But my point is, I'm going to be very brief. I think they're doing this thing backwards. You build the team first and then worry about where they're going to play, because you could take $10 million and go out to a minor league complex and build it up if you just want to size down, because that sounds like what he's trying to do. Build the team first, you'll get the fans and everything else.
Thanks, Tracy. Appreciate the phone call. Bruce, you can do both. It's easy to do both. Other teams have done both.
Well, it's not easy to do both. I would say
it's easy to try to do both.
It's easy to try to do both. I would just say this. Monetizing a franchise for an owner is a really good idea for a fan. Now, does that guarantee that the owner is going to spend money for you? But if you're in the city of Chicago, okay, and if Jerry gets a rap, and I understand this, they've never had a $100 million player
ever.
I don't know if that's a badge of honor or a badge of not trying hard enough. But
that's an embarrassment, Bruce. It's an embarrassment.
Okay, but you know, your $100 million players don't always work out. Okay, either to your $60 or $70 million players. But the reality is, if you have more revenue coming in, if you monetize that franchise, moving past a mistake of signing $100 or $200 million player is much easier. Okay, still you must run a great organization. You must have a good minor league system. Okay, you have to have smart people helping you run it. These are things that Jerry is working on, has worked on, not to the fans. Acceptance on a lot of that area, not to the media's acceptance on a lot of area, not to his own, by proving that he had to replace his whole front office to try to get moving forward. So from that perspective, I just think there's no downside to this. If taxpayers are not going to pay more than they're paying right now for this stadium, and that's a huge issue.
It's a big if. That's a big possibility.
If that's the case, then you're talking about living conditions for the people that are in the South Loop and the inconvenience of them having 81 games in that area. The money that it brings into Chicago, that area, great. The businesses in that area, great. Living conditions for people who live in that area and getting up and back to their homes, and people walking around their homes and, you know, building complexes, maybe not so great.
Let's go to John in Ravenswood. John, welcome inside the clubhouse. Thanks for calling.
Morning, gentlemen. Bruce, I really enjoy the show. I generally agree with you. I'm a Cub fan. I just couldn't disagree more with you on this. Jerry Reinsdorf got a sweetheart deal from the state of Illinois. It wasn't good enough for him, so then they threw in the restaurant they get now in the parking lot. I don't think he has to pay rent or tax on that. The Cubs tried to make a move, and they were told absolutely zero public money. He shouldn't get a penny. And to make him out like this benevolent owner that cares about the fans, he's never spent for Sox fans. And I'll leave you with this. He said it himself. Remember last year he was on some interview? He thought no one was listening, apparently. He dropped his veil and said, "My behavior and the other owners was tantamount to stealing." That's who Jerry Reinsdorf is. His deal's coming to an end. He wants to line his pockets for him, his partners, and his family, not for Sox fans, not for the people of the city of Chicago.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the phone call. I don't remember him saying stealing, Bruce. I think he was at a seminar in California where he did talk about finishing second, or there is a quote attributed to Jerry about not needing to win necessarily every year. It's just about the illusion of appearing to want to win.
My job's not to make Jerry Reinsdorf into a saint. Do I have a relationship with him? Do I like Jerry? Yes, I do. It has nothing to do with how I report. The reality is if this is a good deal for the White Sox fans, okay, the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois, okay? The downtown area, for crying out loud, needs something like this, a shot in the arm. It really does. It will get the attention of everybody, every official, the mayor's office, the police, the fire department, everybody that is essential to running the city of Chicago. This can be a great thing for everybody, not just for the Reinsdorf family.
And at this stage of the process, our obligation and responsibility is to let people know what's going on. And according to the Sun-Times in this morning's paper, this is going on. Jerry Reinsdorf met with local politicians as recently as last night. So did the business people to brief people on what is the status of this exploration, this project. So I think that as we go into it, there are still a lot of questions that remain unanswered. And the biggest one will be, how do you pay for it? And once those questions are adequately addressed, and we know that there's no public money, that will influence people's opinion on this. I get why there would be reluctance to want to include any type of public funding in a city that can't really afford to prioritize a baseball ballpark in the middle of the South Loop. I get that. But from the perspective of due diligence, trying to increase the value of your franchise and do something that would be a legacy type of a thing for Jerry Reinsdorf, this is worth our conversation and worth your time. No doubt about that.
Yeah, the taxes aren't going to go down. My reporting at the beginning of the show and what the Sun-Times is talking about in their story today is this deal, number one, can get done very quickly here. Okay, number one. Number two, your tax base should not go up from where it is right now, depending on what the mayor and his people project for taxes going down the line for other reasons. The stadium itself should not be adding to your tax base at this point.
Kendall is in Naperville. Kendall, welcome inside the clubhouse. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Bruce, respectfully, when you question whether it was a badge of honor to never have signed a player for a $100 million contract, do you know how incredibly pedestrian a $100 million contract in the MLB is now? And for the White Sox to have not signed one is nothing more than a direct correlation to the ownership. The fact that we have not had a fan fest in 2 years is direct correlation to the ownership. This ownership is awful. And you're a reporter. If you don't know how preoccupied the White Sox fan base is with how awful this ownership group is, then you're blind. I know Reinsdorf's your friend, but you're not calling it like everybody else. Oh,
okay.
That's pretty frustrating.
All right. You know,
thanks, Kendall.
I think difference of opinion is the healthiest thing that we have in the world, okay? And in this case, spending $100 million, you don't have to be a genius to do that, okay? That's not the key to winning championships. Do you need to plug in great players once you have a good franchise going? Yes, you do. Are you prone to making mistakes? Spending $100, $150 million? Hey, the Cubs were one for two. $155 million for John Lester, $184 million for Jason Heyward, okay? You're not going to always be right. The point is, if you have the monetizing of your franchise, you can afford to have more than one, okay? You can afford to make a mistake. You can afford to make mistakes, okay? That's what I'm saying this type of stadium will bring to you as a White Sox fan. Just listen to this. I'm just trying to give you some logic on it. Whether you like Jerry or not, whether you think he's a good owner or not, this is the right move right now.
I am not a big fan of Jerry Reinsdorf. I don't think he has done a responsible job at times at the White Sox, and I understand the fans' rancor and frustration with him. But I also think that objectively, when you look at what this could create in terms of increasing the value of the franchise, what it could mean to that area of the city, and in terms of development in Chicago, in fairness, this is something that could alter his legacy. I think it really could, Bruce. I think that when you look at this and you say, all right, we'll begin or end this the way we began this segment, try to leave something better than you found it. Building a ballpark in the South Loop for the White Sox would definitely be doing that.
David, what is the legacy of Jerry Reinsdorf with the Chicago Bulls? Okay, Michael Reinsdorf runs the franchise and has for the last 4 or 5 years and will going forward. What is his legacy there? Okay. Do you think people are talking about him selling the Bulls and should get rid of it because they haven't won a championship in 25 years? I don't understand that part of it. He doesn't really get much credit for what he did with the Bulls initially. The last 25 years, I think he and
his family would say,
hey, this isn't what we want to do. We haven't really done what we set out to do here. We have failed to get a winner here. Nobody's telling him to sell the Bulls at this point.
Well, the Bulls don't need to be sold. The Bulls don't have a fan base that is clamoring for change and inadequacy and mismanagement.
Not?
Because Michael
Why
Jordan
not?
Was here. Because he was the chairman when Michael Jordan
That's
played
25
basketball
years
better than
ago.
Anybody in the world. But that's why
25
he said
years.
His legacy as an owner is intact because Michael Jordan happened to be here. So that, to me, is not comparable. Jerry Reinsdorf's passion is baseball. He wants to be the baseball
owner. He gets no credit for the Bulls. I'll tell you that much. And they should be under scrutiny as well because
I'm
they
not
haven't
forgiving him for hiring
years.
Tony La Russa and hijacking that process because he was a chairman when okay. Michael Jordan was a Bull. They're incompatible. They're two different things, Bruce. Now you tick me off.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, how many Bulls coaches have you liked over the years?
Oh, I love Phil Jackson. I was a big Scott Skiles guy. Oh, Scott Skiles from Northwest Indiana, Bruce. Come on. He's the pride of Plymouth. You know I'm going to like him. I didn't like Tim Floyd. Let me think. Bill Cartwright, classy guy. A lot of Bulls coaches I liked. Tom Thibodeau, do your job. I love Thibs. He was my guy.
I'm sorry I brought up another sport. I apologize.
Bruce, don't apologize. I love being back. It's fun. All right, we need to get out of this conversation and into a break because we're talking more White Sox with Paul Janisch, who will join us next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine, appreciate you joining us this morning. Talking baseball in a cold winter morning in Chicago, Bruce. Getting ready to talk to Paul Janisch from the White Sox, Director of Player Development. And the White Sox have a lot of development to do. Before we get to Paul, I'm curious, because kind of catching up here with a lot of off-season baseball stuff, the Cubs are easy to catch up to because their off-season has been pretty stagnant. How about the White Sox? Are they going to be a team fully committed to a youth movement in 2024, Bruce? What do you think that says about this season? Do you think that is the wisest move for them to make?
I think the White Sox fans can look at their team in a different way. They might lose 90 to 95 games, but they might lose it in a more upwardly important way of moving the franchise and the players forward. So to directly answer your question, and Paul will jump in on this as soon as he's ready to join us here. The White Sox will be a better defensive team. They'll have more athletic players, baseball athletes at certain positions. They'll be smarter. They'll be easier to watch. they will build on youth, okay? But like any good rebuild that we talked about earlier, you're going to have to plug in eventually, okay? That's probably a year or two away. But the Colts and Montgomery's are not far. He could be there as early as 2024 playing shortstop for the Chicago White Sox. There are young players to keep your eyes on. Edgar Cuero, a catcher who's going to be an all-star, is probably a year away. Noah Schultz, left-handed pitcher. There's some good players in that organization. Right now, nobody knows where they're going to go and how far they will go. But I guarantee you this. I trust Chris Getz. I like the people that he's brought in to work with him. None of them have any Chicago connections. So all of that idea about, oh, this is just another Chicago White Sox thing where they're just using people that they know, it's totally opposite of that. Whether it'll be successful or not quickly, I cannot give you an answer to that.
What's interesting about it to me, Bruce, is that maybe I overstate this sometimes, but I think it's all about the packaging. If you go into a season, like no 95 to 97 loss season, not everyone is created equally. If you go into a season thinking you're a playoff contender, a wild card type team, maybe win the division like the Sox maybe thought last year at the beginning, and you lose 101 games, it feels like a disaster that lasts forever, and it's a death march to October. But if you go into a season feeling very good and excited about your young talent and your prospects and the Colson Montgomerys and the Noah Schultzes and the guys who may be on the way, then it's an entirely different vibe, and organizationally you have an entirely different sense of the momentum, which is a good way to bring in our next guest. Paul Janisch is a director of player development for the White Sox, and right now he joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Good morning, Paul. Welcome inside the clubhouse. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are y'all doing today?
Doing well. Appreciate your time. You're talking with Bruce Levine, David Haw, and we are talking White Sox, and I just asked Bruce, Paul, about this season and about the commitment to the young talent in the White Sox organization. So you're the best person to ask. How would you assess the young talent in the White Sox organization?
Yeah, I think it's an exciting time, guys, with Chris Getz at the top, you know, as a first-year GM, and really just focusing on kind of the mission statement of reinvesting into the system, I think is exciting. And you know, me being new to the organization, I'm actually in Arizona right now. We have a performance camp going on, and getting to know and shake hands with a bunch of the players that we have coming up. And to your point, it's an exciting time. There's some young, in particular, arm talent. We all know Colson Montgomery is you know, hopefully on the cusp of getting to the big leagues. You know, on the position player side, there's some new catching depth that's been added to the organization here of late that everybody's excited about. So there's some moving parts, but at the end of the day, we're excited about some of the guys that are going to have the opportunity, hopefully, to get to Chicago in the next you know, year or two.
Paul, can you talk about your trek from Rice to back to the big leagues, where you were a very successful player for a long period of time and got every ounce out of his ability? I can't think of a better way to start for a player development guy than to have a guy like Paul Janisch or a Chris Getz there evaluating, because you and Chris, from your careers, understood what it took not to get there only, but to be able to stay. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so Chris and I actually joke with each other. You know, we wish we'd been better players, but it probably set us up really, really well for our post-career involvement in baseball. So I think the way that you phrased it is very appropriate. I think that we, you know, at least I'll speak for myself, the nature of my career, I look through a different lens, you know, the majority of the time than what, you know, a perennial all-star may have experienced at the major league level. And I think that's, you know, it's kind of a blessing in the sense that, you know, you pay attention to all of the little things that go into the day to day. And, you know, that's on both sides of the ball, whether it's offense or defense. And, you know, from that standpoint, I think it lends itself to really being able to help young players and diagnose in particular, you know, some of the guys that kind of, you know, we're all looking to get it right with the it factor. And I think that's such a big, such a big character trait for young players in terms of being able to make it to the big leagues, and in particular because look, there's 10% of guys that are just better than everybody else, right? You know, and those guys are going to play in the major leagues and have good careers pretty much no matter what, just because of their ability. The rest of us, you know, have to do some of the other things that really add up to being on a winning baseball team. And that's what we're trying to impress on the system at this point. Obviously, Chris has laid a really good foundation on that. I'm really fortunate to be able to come into a place where, from that standpoint, guys are familiar with kind of that presentation, which I'm really just looking to kind of carry on.
We're talking with Paul Janisch, the White Sox Director of Player Development. And Paul, when you look at your career, it is similar to Chris Getz's at the major league level. But I'm curious, how did you end up in this organization? Who did you know? Who did you have? Because oftentimes you see guys who join organizations based on their shared history with somebody and that they collaborated with in the past, or they knew somebody at a previous stop. You're coming here from the college baseball experience at Rice. I'm just curious how you ended up in the White Sox organization.
Yeah, so Chris and I have always had a good relationship. We played against each other a ton, during our playing career, and had a bunch of peripheral friends that were mutual contacts, if you will, that kind of always likened us to each other. So I think that was, for us, the start of our relationship. There's obviously been the addition of Josh Barfield as an assistant general manager. Him and I have known each other for a long time. Gene Watson, who's, just the scout that started it all, so to speak. He and I have had a relationship for a long time. So there was some synergy there, with regards to building from within on the front office side. But I mean, ultimately the answer to the question, I think, is just, I've always been a baseball guy. I really, really enjoyed my time at the college level. Obviously I went to Rice and had some really good experience there. We won a national championship there when I was in college. And, but to be transparent, I have had an aspiration to get back on the pro side, just from selfishly, just the level of play obviously is unique, and the ability to help guys, kind of on the path to the major leagues is something that I have a passion for, and I'm hoping to be able to impart some knowledge and on both staff and players as well. And I think that it's an all encompassing thing that I'm really excited about being back on this side of the game, and in particular with an organization that is looking to kind of turn it around a little bit, in particular at the major league level, but overall just. Again, going back to the mission statement from Getz, it's just a really, really unique situation, in my opinion, to be a part of something like this as we're getting going.
Paul, tell us a little bit about Noah Schultz and his ascension toward the big leagues, and maybe a little bit about Jake Elder. Could we see either or both in the big leagues this year?
Yeah, so I'll start with Jake. Like, he's a little closer to the end of the tunnel, right? And he just a really talented arm, needs to ultimately the arm talent is going to provide success at the big league level. The thing for him is deciding, but becoming more consistent, which I think with the addition of Brian Bannister at the top and Matt Zaleski as our pitching coordinator, I think he's going to be close to there to getting to there this year. With Noah, man, you're talking about somebody who just, I mean, it looks like Randy Johnson. It's a super unique 6'9" frame from the left side from that low slot, and he's just not quite that far down the road. He's a younger guy. He's going to continue to physically develop, and what I do know is being around him for a short period of time is he does have an aspiration to be really good, which I think is a huge factor in this deal. And so ultimately, with a guy like him who's just getting going, so to speak, it's making sure from a development standpoint, physically and then mentally, obviously, as well, that he's ready to move up appropriately throughout the organization. But I think, assuming health, it's very safe to assume he's going to be contributing to the major league level at some point.
Quickly, before we let you go, is it safe to assume or unrealistic to expect Colson Montgomery to contribute to the White Sox in the first half of the 2024 season?
Bold prediction. Colson's going to play in the major leagues, and he's going to be a good player for sure. The answer to that question ultimately is up to him. I think he's going to start the season off, wherever he ends up, and I'd be shocked if he's not playing well, assuming health, right? So like, the answer to the question is up to him. I think that, you know, all of us in the organization are excited about Colson. There's no question about it. He's a competitive kid. You know, the skill set is unique. There's no question. And so, you know, we're all hopeful that he's gonna play in the major leagues this year. And I think, assuming health, he's gonna give himself that opportunity. But putting a prediction on the time frame is a little bit of a dangerous game. So I think we'll hold off and say that he's gonna get there. And when he gets there, is a lot of that ball's in his court to a certain degree.
One thing before we let you go, and David and I certainly appreciate your time today, Paul, and wish you the best of luck. How could an organization have missed as badly on Oscar Colas, and what is the plan for Colas, who, you know, we know has a powerful bat and a good bat, but everything else about his game has just not developed. What is the organization's theory on where Colas is at and where he can go?
Yeah, it's a fair question, and I think at the end of the day, Oscar's still, relatively speaking, inexperienced, and I think that's a big factor. I think, you know, the talent is undeniable. Does he need to be more consistent? Absolutely. And I think some of that's going to be, you know, an incorporation of a little bit of a different mindset. And, you know, you've heard Pedro Grifol talk about this with him, with Oscar specifically, and just because the talent is so potentially impactful. And you know, I think Oscar's just going to need to decide at the end of the day. Like he's ready to kind of turn the page and needs to be a little bit more intentional with some of the preparation, which I know Marcus Thames has talked a lot about. You know, getting with him early on, and from a game planning standpoint, from a, you know, going about your business the right way standpoint, they've talked about being very intentional with that with him specifically, and I think that's the kind of thing for you know, a relatively young player, that, you know, he can kind of get to where you got on accident, so to speak, because he is really talented. And everybody on the phone call knows, like, the big league success at the big league level doesn't happen on accident. And I think that's just kind of where Oscar is. I think he's primed to, you know, the thing he has going for him is the ability is good enough to play at that level. And now, again, going back to it, becoming consistent and from a day-to-day basis and having a plan, you know, against a particular pitcher day in and day out, I think is a big step to make for a young player, and that's what we're hoping that he does this year.
Paul Janish, the Director of Player Development for the Chicago White Sox, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Good stuff from the Director of Player Development. Replaces Chris Getz, who obviously is the new general manager, Bruce. Sounds like the youth movement is on. I'm glad they didn't necessarily put a timetable on Colson Montgomery, but they did leave it up to him. Said that he will decide when he arrives. So I got what, June 1st? What do you got? After? Before?
I would say mid-season. I think that's a fair call on your part. I think they want him to dominate at AAA before they bring him up. And very few players dominate enough in the minor leagues before they're brought up and you see them struggle. People don't have the timelines like they used to, David, of 1,500 at-bats in the minor leagues anymore. It's hey, get him here. We'll develop him here. If he fails, we'll send him back. You know, it's a different world that we live in right now. But
Joe Meyer,
I think Montgomery has shown signs of, you know, being a real shortstop, a real player for the Chicago White Sox moving forward. He might be, by the time he gets 23, 24, he might be too big to play the position. We'll see. Is he the next Cal Ripken body-wise that can play there, or A-Rod? We'll have to see, but he's a big kid.
Speaking of Hall of Famers, Tuesday, big day in Major League Baseball. The 2024 class will be announced. We'll talk about our ballots next, or at least I'll talk about my ballot next. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Driven deep to center field. Gone, a home run for Joe Mauer. Boy, he jumped all over that fastball from Freddie Garcia. 3-1 fastball. The fourth home run for Joe Mauer and the third one here at the Metrodome.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back. Talking baseball for another segment, but don't forget NFL Divisional Playoff Weekend is here. Finally, you can listen to every game free with the Odyssey app. Tune in today with the Ravens and the Texans. Coverage begins at 3. Then tomorrow, doubleheader, Bucks at Lions, followed by Chiefs at Bills, the marquee game. Tomorrow's coverage begins at 1:30 on the Score. Take the NFL playoffs wherever you go with 670 the Score and the free Odyssey app. Joe Mauer coming in, highlight of a home run against the White Sox. He was a quarterback once at Florida State. Made the right choice. Twins, Hall of Famer, Bruce. He could go in Tuesday night at 5 o'clock Chicago time. MLB Network makes the announcement. What do you think? Joe Mauer, who else?
Well, I know, you know, a lot of people are thinking Todd Helton's going to make it this year. He was very close, within a few percentage points last year. He will probably make it. I did not vote for Todd Helton. I just thought the difference between what he did at Coors Field and everywhere else was against him. He was a great player at Coors, but for me, that doesn't make you a Hall of Famer. For me, Mauer, even though he only caught 890 games, they were of the highest quality. He won 3 batting titles as a catcher. If you know anything about baseball, you know how hard it is to hit, particularly at the end of the year. 3 batting titles as a catcher, and nobody has ever done that before. I think there's been a couple that have done it twice. Ernie Lombardi did it a couple of times. But unbelievable for the amount of time he spent there. A lot of people hold against the second half of his career, where he was just a little bit of above average OP plus player at first base and DH.
I voted for Mauer. I voted for Helton. I disagreed with you. Shocking, Bruce. I voted for Adrian Beltre. I voted for Mark Burley. I voted for Billy Wagner. And I voted for Andrew Jones. I hope they all get in. I hope that it's more than just a couple people. I don't know, though. Tuesday night, we'll find out. MLB Network will announce the class of 2024. Bruce, this has been a blast. We have some people to thank.
We do, and in particular, our great support staff here, we want to thank Andrew Bassett of the Chicago Cubs, Vice President of Scouting, as well as Paul Janisch, the Director of the Minor Leagues.
Robbie Triano, producer
Robbie
extraordinaire.
Did a terrific job for
great
us.
Great job by
people
Robbie.
Can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine, on our website at 670thescore.com, where I write Cubs and Sox all week long. David, thanks. Great to have you back full time. It's awesome.
I look forward to next Saturday arguing with you again. I'll be back on the Mullenhaw Show Monday morning at 5:30. Pre-game show starts at 5. Thanks for listening. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
To center field. Gone, a home run for Joe Mauer. Boy, he jumped all over that fastball from Freddie Garcia. 3-1 fastball. The fourth home run for Joe Mauer and the third one here at the Metrodome.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back. Talking baseball for another segment, but don't forget NFL Divisional Playoff Weekend is here. Finally, you can listen to every game free with the Odyssey app. Tune in today with the Ravens and the Texans. Coverage begins at 3. Then tomorrow, doubleheader, Bucks at Lions, followed by Chiefs at Bills, the marquee game. Tomorrow's coverage begins at 1:30 on the Score. Take the NFL playoffs wherever you go with 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app. Joe Mauer coming in, highlight of a home run against the White Sox. He was a quarterback once at Florida State. Made the right choice. Twins, Hall of Famer, Bruce. He could go in Tuesday night at 5 o'clock Chicago time. MLB Network makes the announcement. What do you think? Joe Mauer, who else?
Well, I know, you know, a lot of people are thinking Todd Helton's going to make it this year. He was very close within a few percentage points last year. He will probably make it. I did not vote for Todd Helton. I just thought the difference between what he did at Coors Field and everywhere else was against him. He was a great player at Coors, but for me, that doesn't make you a Hall of Famer. For me, Mauer, even though he only caught 890 games, they were of the highest quality. He won 3 batting titles as a catcher. If you know anything about baseball, you know how hard it is to hit, particularly at the end of the year. 3 batting titles as a catcher, and nobody has ever done that before. I think there's been a couple that have done it twice. Ernie Lombardi did it a couple of times. But unbelievable for the amount of time he spent there. A lot of people hold against the second half of his career where he was just a little bit of a above-average OP plus player at first base and DH.
I voted for Mauer. I voted for Helton. I disagreed with you. Shocking, Bruce. I voted for Adrian Beltre. I voted for Mark Burley. I voted for Billy Wagner. And I voted for Andrew Jones. I hope they all get in. I hope that it's more than just a couple people. I don't know, though. Tuesday night, we'll find out. MLB Network will announce the class of 2024. Bruce, this has been a blast. We have some people to thank.
We do, and in particular, our great support staff here, we want to thank Andrew Bassett, the Chicago Cubs Vice President of Scouting, as well as Paul Janisch, the Director of the Minor Leagues.
Robbie Triano, producer extraordinaire.
Did a terrific job for
great
us.
Great job by
People
Robbie.
You can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine, on our website at 670thescore.com, where I write Cubs and Sox all week long. David, thanks. Great to have you back full time. It's awesome.
I look forward to next Saturday arguing with you again. I'll be back on the Mullinghaw Show Monday morning at 5:30. Pre-game show starts at 5. Thanks for listening. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.